I think we all are familiar with the blame game. You know what the blame game is? It's something you probably did as a kid. I know me and my sister would always get in these blame game situations. And it was worse because, you know, we're around the same age always since we're twins. But somehow, some way, we're playing with our own toys. And I would do this thing where I would provoke her to get a little upset. You know, I'm playing with my own things and minding my own business, and then somehow I would bother her and start, I don't know, making fun of her for playing with her Barbies or things like that. And then she would always lash out and, you know, destroy whatever toys I was playing with or just mess up with the things I'm doing. And then, of course, that's when the parents get involved and we start blaming each other for doing one thing or another. She would blame me because she would say I was telling her, or, I mean, she didn't have the word provoke in her vocabulary, but he was bothering me, he was annoying me, and so I just let loose and, you know, whatever, and did the thing, and we know exactly what that looks like. We've probably done that ourselves, seen our kids do it, where they mess with each other and then start blaming one another, and perhaps as a parent you don't know who to punish except for both. So that's what you do, you send them to your room, to their rooms. Unfortunately, those blame games don't really quite leave us as we get older. We still play the blame game. And we like to blame others, you know, for their inconsistency, for not following up on their promises, for doing whatever, provoking me to do something that I wouldn't have originally done. I think you can think in yourself when you've placed the blame on someone else and not taken your own responsibility for whatever has happened. I mean, we see it all the time in our politics and even with our divisions we're going through in our country, where it seems like we're never in the wrong. It's always someone else. Always someone else that is causing the trouble. As long as I have things figured out, I have it figured, why don't people just either listen to me, or why can't they see so clearly? It's all common sense. It's clear what needs to be done. We do like to play our own blame games. And then people also blame us. You see, there's this thing where there are people that are clean. And then there are people that are unclean. You kind of sort yourself in your own little groups, right? You can imagine it already. You know what I'm talking about. There are these people that say the right things and the right stuff, and I'm a part of this group. But these people over here, they're unclean because they don't say it right. They don't have the right understanding or know exactly what's going on, the right common sense. And if you don't follow in line with that group or with that specific thing, then you're now unclean and belong to a separate group. But the blame is never placed on ourselves, but it's usually placed on someone else. Those are the things I was thinking about as we looked at Mark chapter 7, as I read through it, because what Jesus is telling us is probably hard to hear when we understand that what defiles a person, will make someone unclean, is not from the outside, but it's what comes from within. And what comes from within is brought out. What that is saying is nothing from the outside defiles a person. And so to blame someone else for your own actions, for your own failure to be responsible for the things in front of you, is not something that person or that group or that individual caused you to do, but ultimately it was something inside of you that defiled yourself, that came out of you. That's what Jesus is saying. And maybe that's hard for us to hear because we know exactly how much influence other people have had over us, how much they've provoked us to maybe do the wrong thing or caused us to look at things differently, to respond aggressively, angrily. Jesus is telling us what defiles a person comes from within. And so what does that mean for us who thinks about all the different worldviews, all the different fighting and struggles that seem to be going on all around us, all the different opinions that seem to influence us? What does it mean that it's what's in you that defiles, not what's influencing you from the outside? Well, the truth of the matter is we are influenced by things on the outside. Paul reminds us of that in Ephesians. That's why he gives us the whole armor of God, this armor that is supposed to help us stand firm to the outside influence. And so now we're being influenced by the inside and the outside, and now we're fighting two fronts. And if you want to take things from a Christian perspective, we got the devil, ourselves, and then the third one, the world. Three different fronts. How are we supposed to engage in this? The focus of our text in Mark 7, in these short little verses. And if you remember from last week, we talked about the washing and the undefiled hands. And it was the Pharisees and the scribes that were talking to Jesus. And if we look at this, it's a continuation of that. Moving from the traditions and the things of institutions that help us organize and influence our lives. Here, Jesus now takes the focus now to the relationships. It's not so much the traditions and the institutions anymore, but he moves to call on all the people around him to talk about, well, things like slander, sexual immorality, jealousy, theft, murder, wickedness, deceit, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. These are things that we do to one another, that comes out from in our hearts to influence, to hurt, to damage our relationships with other people. I mean, if you look at that list, 9 of them we can see coming from the second table of the law, and then 3 of them obviously pointing us to our relationship with God. Jesus is pointing us to understand how the things that come out of our hearts influence our relationships. And it's not what comes from the outside. Jesus Christ understood this defilement that comes from the inside, and that's why he came to save. In Mark's gospel, it's a very hidden message, especially in the first half. If you go back and read it, you'll know that he kind of tells people not to tell anyone about him. He kind of hides it. And when he brings about this healing, he always tells people, don't share this message. Don't tell anything what happened here. But the people end up just going out and doing it anyway. You see the message of Jesus, Jesus' actions here and throughout the Mark's gospel show a bit of a hidden and ambiguous reign of God. And that's helpful for us because even in our times, the reign and rule of God and Jesus is a bit unclear. It seems even a little unclean, especially as we look at a nation maybe we've loved so much that seemed to follow along with what we've always believed and taught here in the church, and now seems to be taking a sharp turn the other way. Maybe it's hard for us to see the kingdom, to see Christ's rule in this world. And sometimes that world seeks to influence us from the outside, to coerce us maybe in some way to follow their rules, to follow their traditions, to receive their promises. Jesus reminds us that it's not from the outside, it's not the world, that makes us unclean. But it's from within the heart. And Jesus comes to change our hearts, to make it clean, to restore our broken hearts, to bind us to the Lord and His will. For that's what he says, right? In that passage there. Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? And since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. It's not what comes from the outside, from the world, or from the traditions that truly changes our hearts, but it's actually what's inside, and inside of us is sin. It's the desire to seek my own glory, to search for my own understanding, my own grasp and control of the world, thinking that I have it all figured out because, well, I know better than that person who's unclean. That person from that group, that other community, I should know better, I do know better. It's from within that defiles the person. But Jesus steps down into our reality as a Son of God in flesh to change all that. To change how we see ourselves before our creation and before our God. To change that relationship. To reestablish it with our Lord. And that's what He comes to do, to forgive sins, to make our heart clean, and then to reestablish our relationship with others. And I don't know if it was the people that put this together that thought about it when they put Ephesians and Mark in these passages. But Ephesians in the armor of God is exactly the thing that is needed. So when the attacks of the outside, even in our own influences and the devil, it's the armor of God, this faith, this truth, the word, that we stand firm and can withhold against the things that try to influence us from the outside. But ultimately we know that Jesus grabs a hold of our hearts and He changes it. Yes, now it's still a little broken, but in the hand of the Lord, we can see that God has made us right before Him and then calls us to bring that truth to others. To reestablish those relationships outside of just the ones that... To reestablish those relationships so that we can make them right. To make the responsibilities that we have towards our neighbors, towards our families, towards our church, towards our communities, to do what's good. And not let the evil desires in our hearts or the provocation from others call us to do the wrong thing. Jesus Christ calls you again with His word to give you His good gifts and, yes, to change your heart. As we remember in the Lord's Prayer, that third petition, Lord, Thy will be done. It reminds us that God's will is done through His church, through you and me. That in Jesus Christ, He restores our relationship to Him and then manifests and reveals itself to others. Lord's will for you and His purpose for you is to go and love and serve those important responsibilities He has, those vocations and callings in life. Not for God's sake, but for your neighbors. Because your neighbor needs what you have. And the blessings God gives you is for them. Continue to let Jesus clean your heart, change your heart, but ultimately have faith and trust that the Lord is in control And even though the world may call us unclean, or other people may see that what we are and how we love is unclean, know that the Lord has made you clean. And that you live under His reign and rule, and that Jesus Christ does have the last word. In the name of Jesus, amen.